We've been studying of the Reformation theme this month, which is a sola series. This is our fourth time. Our theme will be grace alone, and our text is from John chapter 53, John chapter 7, verse 53 to verse John chapter 8, verse 11. It's a little bit different verses than our previous verses. It's about story. And then we will be looking at God's grace and grace alone based on our text today. Let's pray before we read this text. Then Heavenly Father, thank you so much for teaching us about yourself from the Scripture. Thank you for revealing yourself through your Son Jesus Christ. And thank you for giving us a gift of faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. And also thank you so much for your blessing to our hearts so that we will be able to understand your word. Lord, every moment that we open your scripture, we feel humbled and we feel trembled before your presence. Today is the day where we're looking at your scripture again with our brothers and sisters together. As Ezra read the scripture in the Old Testament, all the people stood up and then listened to Ezra's reading for days and after days. Lord, give us that heart in our hearts so that we will be only honoring you and glorifying you at this moment. And Heavenly Father, also use me as your instrument, and as I'm going to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to your people and to myself. Lord, we pray that only we will see your honor and glory, nothing else but only Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, bless us. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the New Testament today, from John chapter 7. It's a little bit the breaking in John chapter 7, 53. And then go to the chapter 8. And these verses are present in the most of the medieval Greek manuscripts, Greek Bibles, and a piece of Greek manuscripts. But they are absent from the early Greek manuscripts that we have right now. So that's why it has a little bit, you know, brackets and starting from 753 and ends chapter 8, verse 11. Some manuscripts don't have these verses. This is the word of God. They went each to his own house, which is related to the previous incident. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placing her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. So, what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote this with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elder ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither I do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." This is the word of God. The story that we just read, the incident happened the week before the Passion Week in our Bible. In other places, like Luke 21 and verse 37 tells the story that what Jesus was doing, and he taught at the temple. He went back to the Mount of Olives, and we assume that he prayed and he spent night there. Luke 21, 37, 38 says the same thing. And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olive. And then early in the morning, all the people, literally all the people, came to him in the temple to hear him and his teaching. Now we know that Jesus Christ was wrapping up his ministry, his last days on earth, by teaching things that he knew and then about the law. And he was really busy teaching at the temple almost every day. That's his passion. Now the Pharisees and the scribes all of a sudden brought a woman to him in the morning. Now we know why they brought her to Jesus Christ based on our text in verse 6. It's very simple. They said to test him. Who's going to test whom? That's interesting. They might have some charge to bring against him, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus bent down. He didn't do anything. He just wrote something on the ground. So the Pharisees wanted to use her. We have to look at a different angle today. They wanted to use her to accuse Jesus Christ. Now what will happen is if Jesus agrees with them, all right, stone her and kill her, then he's actually violating Roman law. So he'll be charged against by that. If Jesus says, okay, I disagree with you, that means Jesus Christ is violating the law of Moses. So it's kind of a difficult situation. That's why they wanted to test him. Now, about the woman, the Bible does not tell us her name. But our text describes what she did. In verse 3, a woman who had been caught in adultery. Now, based on Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, if anyone commits adultery, their sentence would be death. There's no way around. It's clear from the teaching. A woman caught in adultery aroused anger in the community, and they tried to kill her. Now let's think about this woman. A woman caught in adultery. What does it mean? What about her marital status? Married or what? What's wrong with her? Now, the word adultery indicates that she was either married or engaged. That somehow, it's interesting, somehow she slept with another man. Now she surely knew that it was a sin against God, and she knew that she'll die for that somehow. Maybe she didn't want that happening, but it happened to her. And the shocking thing is this, people found her at the real act of adultery. It's shocking news. That's really shame. And another interesting thing is that there's no man around. Her partner early escaped, ran away from the sin, or we're not sure. But one thing is sure, the Pharisees didn't need him because they wanted to test Jesus Christ based on verse 6. That's why they didn't have to bring him to Jesus Christ. Their intention was not to practice the law, teaching of the law, but to accuse Jesus Christ, using her to accuse Jesus Christ. So thinking about that situation, looking at her, it's kind of a horrible situation. Whether she found the true love or it was just a mistake, now she deserved the death penalty. Now, this is not a simple death, but she will be stoned by people. She'll be stoned to death by people according to the law. Now, we assume that maybe probably her husband or fiance was there to look at her death. Anyway, this is a horrible situation if you will picture what's happening to her. And everything is not right, and the Pharisee wanted to use her. So she brought great shame, disgrace to her family and her own family and to the community. What she did was all about shame and embarrassment and humiliation and disgrace and guilt and sin. People were giving her dirty looks, and how did you do that? And no one wanted to be in that situation. And the people at the temple, they were more than ready to stone her right now to kill her. What happened is that the next day the Pharisees brought her to the temple, and then they threw her in the middle of the crowd and where Jesus was. She must have thought, yeah, it is time to die because of my sin. Maybe she might have cried and prayed for God's mercy, but she knew that it's not going to happen. It's impossible to change her status and situation because she made a big mistake. No one could save her. But time is coming. Now the Pharisees asked Jesus in verse 4 and 5, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery, not in the law Moses commands us to stone such woman. So, question is, what do you say?" What do you say? That's an interesting question. She knew what Jesus would say. Stone her to death. I mean, everyone around her knew what Jesus would say, stone her to death because of her sin against God. Then what did Jesus really say? Unfortunately, Jesus didn't say any word to their question. Rather, he bent down from our text. He bent down and wrote something on the ground with his finger. What an awkward situation. Now the evil Pharisees could not wait for his answer, so they pushed him to make a sentence in verse 7. They continued to ask him, "Hey, tell us," continue to push him, "what do you say? She's a sinner. She deserves death. What do you say? Can we stone her? Say something." They did not ask Jesus' permission to stone her. They could have stoned her at the scene last night when they found her with her partner right there. But what they wanted was to use this poor lady to trap our Lord Jesus Christ, evil mind. And have you ever thought about the woman at the time? While everyone is looking at and saying something about her, and the people and the Pharisees are asking Jesus, "Jesus, tell us, what do you say about this lady?" She must have felt every second like a minute. Oh, come on, you're asking and asking again. Probably the crowd was ready to stone her, holding the stones in their hands and waiting for Jesus' words. "Say something, I'm ready." Then every second was an unbearable moment for her. She probably thought, "Yes, I have sinned against God. Yes, I deserve death. I would rather die right now. No more question. Don't ask him again. I want to die." Then finally, Jesus stood up and said, verse 7, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." What a long sentence. He didn't say stone her. He said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And he bent down again and wrote something on the ground. Martin Luther says, "We are in bondage to sin, death, and the devil." That's what we see in her story today. She was in bondage to sin, death, and judgment. Nothing that she could do at this moment, and no one could save her. She was bondage to her sin. But isn't it true that we see ourselves in her story? Before God's judgment seat, and we are no better than her. We too are in bondage to sin and death and judgment. That means we deserve nothing but wrath of God. In Romans chapter 3:10, we looked at last week, none is righteous. No matter what, whatever you do, none is righteous and no one. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody is short of the glory of God. And in John chapter 8, verse 34, a little later after this instance, Jesus says, "Surely, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." The Old Testament keeps telling us how God feels about the sin of Israel, about His people's sin towards unfaithful wife. You will see those words in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea. It's happening everywhere. Their adultery, the word adultery is also happening. Adultery, the word adultery is used to express their unfaithfulness to God. So, unfaithfulness, literally adultery in God's eyes. So we are no different than this woman. Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful to Christ? What about this question? Do we spiritually commit adultery once in a while? Or Monday to Tuesday? By giving our hearts to something else. Let something steal our heart. Yes, go. Come on, get it. The woman must have thought, after Jesus said something, the last word, yes, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. She couldn't open her eyes, but just waiting for the stones coming. And it would be horrible to feel the heavy stones hitting her and crushing her bones. And she's thinking, it's coming, it's coming. But nothing happened. That's the beauty of our story today. In our text it says, but when they heard it, what Jesus said, they went away one by one, and beginning with the older ones. Wow. What was going on now? We don't know how many people were there in front of the temple and at her and tried to kill her. But when they heard what Jesus said, so many people were there, lots of people holding stones in their hands. They must have yelled at her, stone her, kill her. But when they heard what Jesus said, no one threw stone at her, but rather one by one. From the old ones to the younger ones, one by one. Everyone dropped the stones from their hands. Everyone slipped away from the sin until only Jesus was left with her. Wow. Then Jesus said to her in verse 10, woman, where are they? Had no one condemned you? And she answered, no one. No one condemned me yet. How about you, Lord? Maybe that question in here. And Jesus gave her his final words in verse 11. Neither do I condemn you. No, I will not condemn you. So go. And from now on, sin no more. Really? What's happened to me? she knew that she deserved to die. But the death didn't come to her. Rather, she received grace from Jesus Christ. Jesus forgave her sin, miserable, horrible, nasty sin, and say, no condemnation. No condemnation. And our text did not say what she said, what she responded to Jesus Christ. But if I were her, and sitting or standing in front of Christ, listening what Jesus said to me, what I would do? I would cry. I would cry. I know that I'm not qualified. But what do you say? Neither do I condemn you. Go sin more. I will cry hard. Grace came to her. From her story, we see that grace comes to us with the forgiveness of our sins. That's grace. Grace overflows us, you and me, when we realize that and our sins are completely forgiven. So grace is all about God's forgiving love and His mercy for us. Now Paul keeps telling and talking about God's saving grace in his letter to Ephesians. I know the ladies are starting in the book of Ephesians. And Paul said in chapter 2 and verse 7, God showed His immeasurable riches of grace. We cannot measure His grace. In verse 8, chapter 2 verse 8, by grace we are saved. We see her in the story. Yes. And in chapter 3, verse 2 and 7 and 4, and chapter 4 and 7, they repeat, grace, God's grace was given to you. And the final one, Ephesians chapter 1 and 7, that's the best one. In Him, we have a redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. According to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness of our trespasses. God's immeasurable riches of grace given to us and you and me to forgive our miserable sins. We always say that we are all sinners before God. We always hear that. Sometimes we don't like to hear it, but we hear that we are always sinners before God. We deserve nothing His but God's command and punishment. We deserve death sentence for our sins. But our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. 1 John and chapter 2 verse 12. It is true that it's immeasurable grace that we have because of Jesus Christ gave His life for your sins, for my sins. As Jesus said to His disciples, Matthew 26 and verse 28, This my blood which is shed, what, for what? For the forgiveness of sins. That is grace. Grace is the heart of the gospel that Jesus Christ brought to us. Grace is all about forgiveness of our sins in Christ. We didn't get His forgiveness through our own merits and works. No, we can't. No one can get it. No one can deserve God's grace at all, His forgiveness at all. We cannot say that, God, I deserve, I'm qualified to have Your grace. No, we cannot say. God's grace is given to us in Christ. God offers His forgiveness of sins to His people through faith in Christ. God's grace that we have is given to us by the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, His work on the cross. So, at the temple with the woman, we see that no one tasted the power of God's forgiveness, His grace, but only this lady. Did you see that? All the people, the Pharisees, and stoning, I'm trying to kill you. let's kill her. They didn't understand the word grace, but this lady, the adulterous woman, tasted God's grace. God's immeasurable grace. Grace happened to her. Grace came to her. It was a gift from Jesus Christ. Grace comes to us with the power of reconciliation. Now Jesus says twice in verse 10 and 11, has no one condemned you? Now Jesus is talking about people. They will condemn you because of your sin. But now what Jesus said in verse 11, neither do I condemn you. Surely her sin brought her condemnation and separation from God. Now here, verse 11, Jesus says that Jesus brought her back to God, reconciliation with God. As Paul says, Romans 5, 2, through Him, which means Jesus Christ, we have also obtained an access by faith into His grace. Through Him we have obtained an access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now interestingly, Calvin says about this, the grace of reconciliation offered to us in Christ. We know that no one can stand in front of God's judgment. But now we are able to stand. We are able to see Him. On the ground of God's grace in Christ. We have that grace. Isn't that amazing? Our broken relationship with God has been restored in Christ. Therefore, grace is the message of reconciliation. We have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5, 1. The most beautiful and awesome great thing that happened to her was His grace. No one threw a stone at her. No one condemned her. Why? Because Christ, the mediator, was with her and stood in front of her. Because His grace overflowed and covered her. The same thing is true for all of us. No one can judge us. As we read Romans 8 today, no one can condemn us. No one can separate you and me from God's love. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the mediator, the redeemer, is with us. His grace is our grace. His grace is always overflowing. His grace covers us. Now, His grace is irresistible. We cannot deny His grace. When God's grace comes to you and me, no one can say, no, I don't want that. No, it's sovereign God is giving to us. When God calls you and me, no one can deny His call. When God declares us righteous in Christ, no one can say, whoa, that's not true. No one can cancel that. Because His grace always comes to us in fullness and grace upon grace. Was it her choice to receive grace from Jesus Christ? Was it her choice to obtain His grace? No. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 clearly says that, and those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Grace is about God's divine call. Irresistible. We cannot say no. It's divine grace for us. Divine grace for her that we see. Nothing is an accident. Nothing is our choice. Everything is about God's grace. Thinking of our church, we are a small congregation. This is our God's grace for us. How about our job? Yeah, that's our God's grace. Our friends and self, and even our salvation. Everything is God's grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us an interesting story. Paul said that he prayed three times to remove his thorn. And then it could be his physical difficulties and issues and strugglings and or illness, like an eyesight problem. It could be his struggling with many enemies of the gospel, but he prayed three times and asking God, please remove this thorn. Then Paul surely expected God's blessing and his healing and or something better, but this is what Jesus said to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I don't know about your situation, but maybe you are struggling right now with your sins before God and feel guilty and shame, disgrace. Maybe people around you will say you are a sinner. Maybe they are judging you. Maybe you are depressed by what people are saying about you. You are not qualified and you are losers. Maybe people are ready to throw stones at you. Maybe you feel your life means nothing to you. I don't need money. I don't need a job. I don't need honor and friends. I want to quit my life. Everything becomes meaningless. But look at this lady, the adulterous woman in our story. What happened to her? Grace happened to her. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the same grace that the lady received from Jesus Christ happened to us. We see His grace, God's grace at the cross. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered once for all our sins. And then Isaiah chapter 53 tells us everything about He was despised and rejected by man. Because of that, we receive His grace. He was pierced and crushed for our sin. That's why we have His grace. He was oppressed and afflicted. That's why we have His grace. We see His grace at the empty tomb. Jesus conquered the death. It's empty. That's why we have His grace. Now we see His grace at the resurrection of the body. We see His grace when Jesus Christ comes back, as He promised in the Bible. Yes, sin is great, but His grace is greater. His grace is sufficient for you and me. And grace happened to us, and it happens to us. That is Jesus Christ. That's why we say, amazing grace. The scripture declares that through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Exodus chapter 36 says about what God is showing His grace. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and steadfast love and faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, we are living in God's grace. Grace happened to us every day through our faith in Christ. That's why we say Scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone, grace alone. Grace is with us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, and we praise You for the story that we heard today. The adulterous woman who have tasted the immeasurable grace of forgiveness of sins. Lord, we have that one through our faith in Christ. Lord. But would you please bless us to share your love, your gospel with people around us and who don't know about your grace, and encourage us to do that. Help us to do that. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.